Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun. Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Merkel Media.
He also provided documents from Stalin, signed documents from Stalin, ordering the authorization of the submarines to go after Hitler in what's called Hollow Earth.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese, please.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
prison.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, probably not YouTube, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We certainly do appreciate your support, and we could not do the show without the wonderful help of our sponsors. C60 Purple Power has been with us for the last couple of months now, and it's been phenomenal. I take it every single day. I'm so glad I found out about this. It's just a little, it's a teaspoon of this, of a avocado oil. It doesn't taste bad, doesn't upset your stomach. It's amazing. What C60 is, it was discovered in the late 60s and early 70s, or it was theorized by Buckminster Fuller back in the 60s and 70s. It was officially discovered in the 80s, and the group of scientists that found it won the Nobel Prize for it, which is pretty cool. It is a free radical sponge. It is the unique structure of the carbon-60 atom allows it to become a free radical sponge with the ability to neutralize radicals and reset itself again and again. It is also the most powerful antioxidant known. It's hundreds of times more powerful than anything out there, but it has not been approved by the FDA, which I don't think will be a big problem for our audience because we all know that FDA stands for the Fraud and Death Administration. So take a look at c60purplepower.com. See if it's right for you. Use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save yourself some money. They have free shipping as well. And also, I'll tell you, if you've been living through these crazy times and you haven't thought about getting yourself ready, you are insane. My Patriot Supply has been nice enough to set up a landing page specifically for our listeners and viewers. It is preparewithmacroaggressions.com. That'll take you there. You can get options for a 4-week supply of food. You can get a 3-month supply of food. I suggest taking advantage of this, really. If not here, then start doing it on your own. Really start thinking long-term about this. We're going to walk right into a supply chain disaster. They're telling us it's coming. We know it's coming. I mean, they lie to us on TV all the time, but we can read between the lines and understand that when the World Economic Forum is talking about things like supply chain disruption, they probably know what they're talking about. So whether you're prepping with our sponsor or you're doing it on your own, just do it. You don't want to be late on this one. So if you're interested, go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com. Well, I'm excited about this one because we've got the guys from Generation Z. We've got Dave and Camden here. And well, I think what we're going to do is, I don't know, where should we start? Let's start with Dave, you're in Canada, and we the Canadians. We love maybe not the government so much. The government is run by a bunch of weirdos and by Justin Trudeau, who may or may not be Fidel Castro's son. He certainly is acting like it. What do you see going on in the Great White North these days, Dave?
Well, first off, I just want to say, Charlie, it's an honor to be on your show. Thank you so, so much for having me in Camden. I couldn't be more happy to be on here.
We've done a few together, so this is not the first time. And we always have a good time. We always get into some weird topics, which I think the people will appreciate. So yeah, it's my pleasure to have you guys on too.
100%. Thank you so much. Well, when it comes to, and I appreciate the fact that I can speak so freely on here because as many people know on YouTube, it's kind of hard for me to touch on COVID and things like that. But truthfully, what I see is this with regards to not just Toronto, but Canada. So Canada's separated into a handful of different provinces. I don't remember the exact number, but I think it's 7 or 8. It's around that number. And it's very much operates like that of the states in terms of instead of governors, you have something called premiers. And every single premier in the vast majority of the provinces within Canada have given into this vaccine passport. Interestingly enough, the premier of this province where I live, Toronto, Ontario, the province of Ontario, Doug Ford, has said he did not want to introduce a vaccine passport for now, at least, because he did not want to create a split society, which was quite interesting. I respected that. However, there has been tons of unconfirmed sources telling local Toronto outlets and Ontario news outlets that he's given into the pressure of Trudeau. Apparently, Trudeau called him up last week and they had a private conversation off the record. And he came back, Doug Ford, saying, "We got to do this," with a heavy sigh, allegedly. It's interesting because Doug Ford's daughter recently went on a Twitter rant about how she believes in the freedom of choice and things like this. And we obviously have people like Putin as of recently coming out and saying he believes respectfully we should encourage those to get the vaccine in a respectful manner. However, people should not be fearful of losing their employment due to the stresses of whether they should get the vaccine or not. Putin, what he's doing, in my opinion, is very smart. And the reason why I bring Putin up and I bring up Doug Ford is because these are all the different angles that someone like Justin Trudeau is looking at. And let me tell you what he's doing with regards to those two. He is not even considering that side of the table whatsoever. What he's doing, in my humble opinion, he is following the narrative of the United States. Very simple. I always say, I didn't make this up myself, but the U.S. coughs, Canada sneezes, right? Yeah. So it's that sort of, tit for tat type of thing. Now, when it comes to Trudeau, he just recently called a snap election. I believe the election is going to be held next week. And he's doing so hopeful that he's going to actually, win again, obviously. And what I see right now is a very, and I'm going to use the word authoritarian, because when I saw him last week come out to the Canadian people and say on national television, there will be, quote, serious consequences for those who refuse the jab unless they have a medical exemption. I said, my God, I don't understand. And then a couple of days ago, this went viral online. A friend of mine, actually, in the town over from where I live, happened to stop by Trudeau's rally. And he was the guy who said to Trudeau, "Can I get a picture with you?" And then Trudeau said, sure. And the guy said, smile, you communist fuck. He said, I don't.
That's
yes,
your buddy?
A friend of a friend.
Friend of a friend.
Yes.
That guy should be on the Canadian, like, he should be on a stamp or something.
Actually, I was in that exact parking lot 2 weeks ago watching a movie.
How funny.
That's funny.
So he had to have his rally.
He did it so casually, too. Like, yeah. And the look on his face, he was like, eh, whatever, I had to do
and
it.
Then, and then his Trudeau's entourage kind of looked at the my friend of a friend and looked and said, really, did you have to say that? And he's like, well, what's the problem? It's, you know, free speech. But anyways.
It's true.
Right.
Facts is facts. Yeah.
Exactly. I see authoritarian sort of narratives being pushed in a softer way. Sort of like, for example, let's Biden sent over, I believe, just over 1 million doses of AstraZeneca a handful of months ago. In my opinion, they sent over AstraZeneca because that was the least, I guess you could say, effective or tested product at the time, allegedly. And then what ended up happening was we're finding out now doctors in Toronto and in Canada, and Trudeau refuses to address these questions when asked, by the way, doctors are mixing jabs on people who specifically said they don't want the jabs mixed. This happened to a friend of my father's. My father's friend, he got the Pfizer for the first shot. He goes, I want Pfizer for the second. They almost gave him AstraZeneca. Right before they put the needle in, he said, hold on a second. He just had a gut feeling. He goes, which brand is this? The doctor says AstraZeneca. He goes, whoa, I said I want Pfizer. And the doctor tried to push even more, like put the needle in him. Like, no, don't worry. He's saying this while he's about to put the needle in him. My father's friend, he gets up and he says, you know, fuck this, basically, right? So I see, essential, long story short, soft authoritarianism.
Damn.
Basically. Not exactly as direct. Trudeau's not getting on national television and saying, this is the way it's got to be, except for that one time last week. But he's using different loopholes and he's using different ways of obfuscating and sort of diverting from answering questions to then address the mainstream narrative, which, again, we could argue is being pushed by, you know, many in Europe, America, you name it.
I mean, what I was going to say is... Charlie already said, why would we ever trust the FDA to begin with? But let's pretend that we do. What they haven't even said it does when you mix these shots, like that doctor was just doing to your father's friend. I mean, that's completely unfounded, unresearched at all. That's crazy even to think about, that they would think that's practical to do. That to me is just wild.
Logic and common sense have gone out the window. It's been replaced by fear. Doctors, man, and this is the thing I can't get over. Like, did the doctors turn their brains off or something? Because I'm pretty sure they had to swear an oath to do no harm, and yet they're making this stuff up as they go along. I mean, I think that they even have to admit that they're mixing and matching, going, and I'm seeing posts saying, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, get one of this one and one of that one. And then maybe when the booster comes out, get a third
of another. Yeah, right.
These aren't baseball trading cards we're talking about here. These are injections. These are medical injections that are very questionable, that have, you know, when they did the long-term, when they did the animal studies on the mRNA technology, they all died. 100% kill rate.
Yeah.
They all died. So what part of seeing all the animals died made you say, this seems like a good idea, let's inject it into people? Unless there's a much bigger agenda. And of course, we know that there is a much bigger agenda. And if we know one thing about Justin Trudeau, whatever the narrative is, whatever the agenda is, he's on board. If he has to dress like Pocahontas, or if he has to pretend to be a part of this culture, or he has to virtue signal to the gay community, he'll put on booty shorts and get out there in his mesh tank top with his glow sticks and do all that stuff. He doesn't fucking care. He's a disgusting human being. And I'll tell you what, when the gallows come, he'll be the first. He'll be in a line. He'll be in a line of the first batch. And I'm interested though about this snap election you talked
about. Snap election, yeah.
Right. Right.
Why would, if you're, first of all, I gotta say, Justin Trudeau gives me a Gavin Newsom vibe. Just say.
Yep.
I get that from
you. Yeah.
Authoritarian weirdos that have questionable backgrounds and all that stuff. But why would you be having an election right now. He's not very popular, is he?
Well, no. Well, a couple things I want to say very quickly, right before I get to the snap election thing. He's also, one thing I forgot to mention, when he speaks to the nation on an almost daily basis, he picks and chooses what he wants to take from the CDC. So for example, when the CDC had said recently that, I believe it was, you could not... they don't recommend mixing the shots, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. This was a handful of weeks ago, shortly after Trudeau said to the people of Canada, don't worry about mixing the shots. How ironic, because Biden just sent us over 1 million doses of AstraZeneca. We never had AstraZeneca. We only had Pfizer and Moderna from my recollection.
Right. And so that's convenient. Yeah.
Right. So now he's picking and choosing number one. Like you said, Charlie, totally agree. When it comes to Great Reset, New World Order, he's the first one on board. We can argue it has to do with Canada generally as a country not, you know, getting involved in any wars, but he's a little too much. Like he's too India for India. Like when he went to India that time, and even the Indian politician said he was too much. The way he dressed, the way he acted, it was too much. So when it comes to the snap election, I find this interesting because apparently he and his whole administration believe this is the best time for him to win re-election, maybe not gain any seats in parliament, but win re-election. And look, when he ran a handful of years ago and for his first term and all that, the main thing was this. We had a prime minister before this called Stephen Harper. He was conservative. I will say, though, that conservatives in Canada are the Democrats in America. I will be totally honest. So Mr. Harper, arguably, he kind of held things steady. Some say he held it flat. Some say he kind of brought it up a little bit in terms of the economy, things like that. Justin Trudeau comes along, fresh face, promises legalization of marijuana, you know, young guy, good looking guy, things like that. He was a substitute art teacher before this. I hope, I want to make that very clear. He got in through his... Right. He got in through his father's connections, Pierre Trudeau, his father, right?
You mean Fidel Castro?
Exactly. And by the way, Pierre Trudeau, Justin Trudeau's mother was known to be promiscuous when they traveled abroad for political trips. But yeah.
And Pierre Trudeau was a maniac, if I recall correctly. Yeah.
He was a maniac. Yes. He was liked by the Irish and the Italians because he was the one that opened the floodgates and said, let them all in. But it was different time and what have you. But when I look at this snap election, I think personally he's regretting it. Why? Because I'm checking the local news every couple hours just to see where he's going rally to rally. And his main focus seems to be the province of Ontario. Makes sense because the vast majority of the population of Canada is in this province.
Right.
He's getting heckled. And people are protesting, by the way, not just for the vaccine passports, not just for the vaccine, not just for the mask mandates. People are also protesting because Big Tobacco is trying to bribe him to put a federal ban on many different vapes and like e-vapes and stuff like that. So I think the snap election, he was told, we got to do this now or you won't have a chance later because the hatred for you is going to build. That's my opinion. I could be wrong. He's jumping all over the place now and he's being heckled everywhere that he goes.
Yeah, so, I saw that. I saw his bus pull up and everyone, what were they chanting? You suck or something like that.
Like it's not like he only went to one or two places and his opponents are taking footage just from that place and they're cropping it to look like it's everywhere. It's happening everywhere. Right. Like,
well, I have a question actually about snap election. So I happen to have, cause I had no idea how Canada's government worked until recently, but it's meritocracy as in the, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau nominates people and the leader of the parliamentary Senate body, whatever, then like approves of selections of people. In this snap election, aren't the people of Canada now electing members of the Senate or are they just electing like premiers?
They are now, the way it works, it's actually quite interesting. So when you vote in Canada, and I have a big disagreement with this, and hopefully I'll explain this correctly, but when you vote, if you vote, say, for example, Liberal at the federal level, it's a check mark on Liberal all the way down. All the way down to the provincial, regional, and local level. Whereas in your guys' country, you can go, I want a Republican for my state, but I want a Democratic president, for example. And then I also want, a conservative governor or what have you. If I'm not mistaken, unless things have changed in Canada, it's top down. Whoever you check off, that's the way it goes.
All the way down.
For everybody, yeah.
Yeah. So whichever one Dominion voting wants, is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah. Right.
No, I want to be very clear here. I haven't been up to date in terms of like the voting of things and all that. Last time I voted was 2 years ago, I think it was. But last time I voted, that was the way it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I actually, it's a Patreon member's point, but it's a beautiful point. In voting, it's kind of a great argument against voting at all. In voting, you are kind of signing away your right to be overlorded by saying you pick this person. You are saying I pick this person to rule me. And
right.
So at what point ever did we decide that there is a whole different group and class of humans that are so much better at making decisions than the rest of us, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
It gets into the George Carlin argument where he says,
absolutely.
He said, I don't vote and people tell me, but then I don't have the right to complain about it. And he says, no, I see it the exact opposite way. You're the ones that voted for these maniacs. I didn't. So I have, mm-hmm. I'm the one that has the right to complain, not you. So yeah, I understand the voting conundrum here is that if you don't vote, then they'll stuff it with all these maniacs, but they're going to put them in there anyway. I just find it ironic, you know, the book I wrote with Berwick, The Controlled Demolition, we put that out the Friday before the election, and on election Tuesday, it became a number one bestseller. And I was texting with Jeff going, the irony, man.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
If you read this book, you'll never vote again. And for this to happen on election day, of all the days it could have happened, for it to happen on that day, it was just so sweet for us. And on a side note, as that book was going up the rankings, it got as high as number 52 worldwide on Amazon.
Whoa.
But you know what book was number 51? 1984. We were so dumb. We were like,
holy crap.
Four spot. We can bump this thing off, you know?
Oh,
and that, unfortunately, is 1984 is where I see things going all over the place. But not just in Canada, but really everywhere. You guys were the first, though, Dave, to institute these insane, like, quarantine hotels, and then, you know,
just to make it clear, quarantine hotels, you had to pay for it yourself. It was it was a deal between the major hotel chains and the Canadian federal government to basically put money in both their pockets, and it was $2,000 flat for 3 nights. $2,000 for 3 nights, by the way, and $2,000 Canadian, which is like 1700-1800 American. Big difference, you know, same difference.
Still.
And it was, you had to come back, and if people refuse at the very beginning. People didn't know, like police officers, and you have you name it. They didn't know how strictly to enforce this. So there were people that got away with it at the first couple months that said to the cops, to the people that were checking in on them, listen, I'm not doing this. Fine me as much as you want. I know my rights. Now, things have changed because there recently was a law instituted, I believe, across the entire nation, if I'm not mistaken, certainly in Ontario, that you cannot sue for anything COVID related. So a little bit of an insight. A little bit of an insight. I know for a fact, because I know people are doing this, at least in Toronto, people are now suing because they can't sue for COVID-related issues. Yeah. I don't know how much that's going to stand in court, but it's the best shot they have legally.
This is insane. Like, we've seen things that... I mean, this is... Let's just be honest about this. It's not about a virus.
No, not anymore.
It's transformed.
No.
You give these people an inch, they will take a mile. And what they see is, I have these visions, you know, of them like all in a big boardroom going, okay, we've got all these ideas that we want to use to control the world. How many of them can we tie to COVID? You know, COVID this, we want to get rid of cash. We can say COVID lives on cash. Oh, easy. We'll get rid of it that way.
Right.
But it's being used as the pretext to remove rights and grant more powers to the government. What a surprise. It's almost exactly like they did in 9/11 as we're coming up on the 20-year anniversary of that. Camden, what's going on? What are you seeing in the southeastern part of the United States?
It's interesting because, you know, you get on the echo chamber that is the internet, and it seems like everyone's pro all of these authoritarian measures. But the more and more I go out and talk to people and actually speak with them, it seems like a lot of them are realizing that they can't say these things on the internet, so they don't. Mm-hmm. And that they are, because of this weird dichotomy of I can't say this on the internet or I'll get canceled, like anyone cares what any of it, like just say what you have to say. They also feel like they can't say it in public, like out their mouth, because of this weird political correctness thing that's been pushed so much. And the more and more I talk to people, the more and more I realize that they're realizing that shit is fucked, and they're just actually kind of scared to talk about it. Being in the Southeast, of course, in Southeast Georgia, like not many people are really pro vaccine. I've got Atlanta, you know, 2 hours north of me. That's a whole different like world. But Georgia as a whole is kind of, I mean, you know, I hate when people are like, they're putting microchips in us, because that's not what's happening here. Right. But I mean, I guess if that's what you want to believe, at least it keeps you from taking this shot, you know, but it's kind of a weird, surreal world when I see all that happens on the echo chamber, all that people say. But then if I go to a CVS right now, they might have, you know, national brand, they might have a sign on the door that says masks required, but no one's ever told me to put one on. And I've never, and in a year and a half, I haven't worn one or even tried to. So it's kind of like, I think people here are kind of tired of it and just don't care anymore.
And in Toronto, are they just, is everybody just?
They're actually, it's interesting because I would call Toronto in the city, I would call it the sort of California/New York of Canada. However, when you go outside of Toronto, which is where I live, called the GTA, stands for the Greater Toronto Area, which is where Trudeau is campaigning more and more, you're going to find a lot more protests, a lot more people very skeptical and things like that. And that's exactly what's happening. And interestingly enough, I appreciate you asking that, Charlie, because there's a few people that have come up to me recently and said, Dave, we know we saw your recent episode on Patreon and this and that about COVID and all that. And what do you think when you see, for example, DARPA working with Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca? It's right on the website, by the way. Like it's this is not a conspiracy. DARPA's worked with them. And I brought this up before we started recording. And I said, this is exactly why I don't trust them, because it's not that DARPA doesn't know what they're doing. It's that they know exactly what they're doing, and at least publicly, they've been considered to be one of the most unethical, secretive departments of, you know, the CIA, the American military, you name it, right? So when I see DARPA right next to the Gates Foundation symbol and Pfizer and Moderna, it's not because I think they don't know what they're doing. It's because I think they know exactly what they're doing, and that's the problem.
And it's weird to me how many, I mean, you know, love him, hate him, I'm not a fan for real, but Donald Trump did get people to pay attention to politics. Now, half of those people were very young, thinking that they're, you know, socialist Marxists, even as they tweet from their iPhones, but they somehow, Glenn Greenwald did a great expose on this, they somehow think that the CIA is trustworthy because they are led to believe that, and they have a hard time believing that the CIA would ever plant stories in the media and would ever try to lie to us for narrative and things like that. It's strange.
Well, I mean, there's only 6 or 7 decades of history of that happening,
that they have
be happy to melt their brains and just read them one after another of all the times the CIA has manipulated the news stories. Hell, they had thousands of people inside the news organizations when it was announced that the Church Committee hearing in 1975, they had that. They had tens of thousands of people working in the media then. So like, and it doesn't mean that necessarily all of them are on the payroll, but some of them are like reporters that want a good story. And you get this guy says, hey, listen, you want a scoop? You want something? I'll give you something. Here you go. And boom, they give you this story. And so a lot of them, you know, it's not that every reporter is necessarily like nefarious working for the CIA and cashing their checks, but like some of them want to advance their careers and they get information from the CIA. And so they put it out there and then they get more. Oh, this is a person that's trustworthy. That's why when you have Hillary Clinton's emails get leaked, and it says, let's contact Maggie Haberman because she's a good one for us. that's how it works. You get journalists that aren't necessarily on the payroll. Maybe she is,
right?
But they're just, they're jock sniffers. You know, they're people that want to be around powerful people. And they, oh, Hillary right. Clinton thinks I'm trustworthy. I'm her friend. I'll say whatever she wants. That's a fucking problem for me.
Well,
you know,
there's
the
a
left,
video.
Of course, refuses to acknowledge that any of that is happening, while the right is right. screaming about that. Of course, every couple of years it switches, and now we're now the right is complaining about Biden. So, but Camden, speaking of complaining about Biden, we've got a situation in Afghanistan, obviously, that has not gone according to, I'd say it's not gone according to plan. If the
plan
is, I would
say it almost has gone exactly according to plan.
If the plan is, let's get out of Afghanistan real quick and not make a big scene. But if you're trying to screw up the withdrawal from Afghanistan and you're trying to create the pretext to possibly go back, I would say that the retreat out of Afghanistan has been orchestrated perfectly, right? What are you hearing?
Absolutely. No, so as we talked about, I live in Southeast Georgia. I am very, very close to Fort Benning, the largest infantry base of the U.S. Army. I know some people there right now. Luckily, I know that none of them were of the 13 that had died recently now, but it's a tragedy. And it's as some of them have come back last weekend and stuff with the first withdrawal, I got to see some of them again. And we'll tell it like it was. We're playing pool in a bar and in a pool hall. And you know, people get drunker. People start to talk, loose lips. Not naming names, but these people are primary sources, and they are very sure that this was a destabilization op. They took advantage of the fact that Joe Biden wants to get out of Afghanistan, that he wanted that to be one of his big accomplishments of his presidency. And they instead made it incredibly easy for the Taliban to reinstate themselves. They made it incredibly easy for other foreign terrorist organizations like this ISIS-K thing, whatever the hell that is, to do these atrocities. They want to get Joe Biden out of office. They're done with him. These military army men are very, very sure, as they say it to me, Joe Biden's got less than a month at this point. Wow. They want to 25th Amendment him. They, you know, want him out as America itself gets more destabilized, because the, I guess we'll call it the deep state, but I don't really think it's the deep state. This is like a surface state. Like, this seems to be something that if even these, you know, infantry men know about, this is a very public thing. They want Kamala Harris to be the bad cop that's the president, because she can martial law the fuck out of things. And if we're saying that's what they wanted to happen, they're doing a damn good job at it. They're giving themselves every right to go back to the Middle East because of how horrible it's gone. We've literally yesterday, as they pull out at local time midnight, General Milley said, we didn't get everyone out we wanted to. We didn't, point blank. We didn't. So like, we literally have stranded Americans in Afghanistan. And whether or not you believe that the, specifically, even you've probably seen the C-17 that was taking off from Kabul airport that had a bunch of people running by it and stuff.
Yeah.
Those same military guys, very explicitly told me that didn't happen at Kabul airport.
Really?
Apparently, I'm saying this very lightly because I don't, off the top of my head, I don't have anything to ascertain the veracity of this, but apparently there was some film used from a bunch of Americans running into a Dallas Cowboys stadium as footage that was deliberately used as to show, to try to present, look at the people running into the airport to try to get on these planes.
Wow.
I say this lightly because I can't back this up fully, but
But there's multiple things that they had said that just like, no, that didn't happen there. No, that's like 8 years ago of like Philippine refugees that we were taking out. That's not people from Afghanistan, like things like that. And so you have to ask yourself, is the mainstream media lying that like, obviously, because they're lazy, because they're don't care anymore. I mean, my lazy perspective comes from like better, for better or worse, these Wall Street Journal, New York Times, like they're probably, you know, kids like y'all were talking about the St. Andrews kids before we started recording. Mm-hmm. They're kids like that, that kind of got set up.
Right.
And in a school that, I mean, I went to a school that, you know, they called it in high school, they called it, you know, one of the best in the state. Well, it was one of the best in the state at teaching me how to cheat better. I'll say that. Nice. And so when you kind of like have all these smart people around you, everyone works smarter to work less. And so are these Wall Street Journal, New York Times people that just kind of coasted through everything, are they lazy? Do they just like, no one will check me here. I'll use that video. Whatever. I found this. Or are they being fed things that they don't even know are like really, really wrong? That's where you have to, I don't know. I don't.
Well, if I could say very, very quickly, on our a members episode we did a couple months back, we analyzed a video with a former CIA agent by the name of John Stockwell. Maybe, Charles, I'm not sure if you've heard of him.
Yeah.
Right. And he was very, I guess you could say, vocal in the late 70s, early 80s. He kind of went quiet after that. But he basically talked about how there's a few different ways the CIA disseminates propaganda. Sometimes it's they literally trick the journalists point blank. They tell them this is a legit story when it isn't. The journalists find out later they got screwed, but they also don't want to lose their connections in the intelligence community. Right. Other times they're just fully made up stories with a little bit of truth. In other cases, they will, like you said, Charlie, in the case when you referenced WikiLeaks, Hillary Clinton's emails saying, okay, let's hand it off to this reporter because, you know, she's good to us and stuff like that. There's that type of stuff. But then there's also where Mr. Stockwell mentions you prey on their human vulnerability. So you don't literally have to put a gun to their head to make them publish a story. You work on them over time and you say, okay, you know, put this one into your paper next Tuesday. And, you know, it's a real story, but the next four are going to be bullshit. Right. And the example he gave was Mr. Stockwell ran he called it the Angola War. Now, let me say very quickly, the fact that is that any person in the world, any human being is running a war, there's something seriously wrong.
Absolutely.
Right off the bat. He said the CIA called it covert action, but that really means the dirty part of what they would refer to. He said he had stringers and sources in London, Zambia, Angola and Kinshasa, and he would basically use the reporters from London to act as a cover source for someone in Zimbabwe. But the Zimbabwe government, the president and vice president were in on it. And he's going on and on about how these things happen. He said at the very minimum, 400, and this is 1978, 400 journalists were working with the CIA around the world, some of the biggest names in the business. And the interviewer then goes on to say, Mr. Stockwell, is this easy to do for you guys? And he's like, oh, it's one of the easiest. He goes, yeah. And my thing is this, before we started recording, I was telling you guys about how I have a family member who very much, he subscribes to some conspiracies, if you want to call it. I don't even like to use that word anymore, but he believes in the system a bit too much. And this is exactly how they take advantage of that. Right? They take advantage. And so I said to him, I sent him this video and he says, well, you know, nowadays it's much harder to hide things like they did. I said, hold on. That depends because you're telling me what Mr. Stockwell described is not happening now just digitally. Come on. Look at Palantir. Look at Bellingcat. These are all used as sources by respected journalists, specifically within Australia, New Zealand, the UK, Canada, America, and Europe. Interesting. Doesn't the CIA have heavy influence in those countries?
Yeah.
Right. So it's right in front of everyone's faces. And it's not just because you, like, for example, I have friends and family that will, I'll play right into a talking point with them. I'll say to myself, let me see what they say if I question the alleged Syrian gas attack, for example. Not saying people didn't die, but I'm saying it's possible it was a false flag, as shown by the OPCW cover-up. Anyways, I would propose this to them, and then they would text me back and say, oh, so you're for dictators and authoritarians. No, I didn't say that. But you see how they've fallen for the CIA propaganda?
Right.
If you're not for the CIA talking points, all of a sudden you're an authoritarian supporter, and you, pardon my English, you suck the dicks of dictators. No,
yeah.
I didn't say that, right?
Bashar al-Assad is an eye surgeon.
Yeah. You
know? Right. He's not a terrorist. He's not a dictator. His people love him. His people, maybe not all of them.
The point, yeah, is like...
We can't have that, though.
No, why would we have a country love its country and its people that run it? Yeah.
No, we need to keep everything destabilized. But speaking of these stories, the CIA stories and the planted stories and everything, one of the things that you guys have done a really good job getting into is the UFO situation. And what we've been seeing lately is the CIA, of course, all these... To the Stars Academy that's filled with 100, it's got CIA spooks on their board of directors that have combined over a century of CIA experience. So it's like, I don't know, man, but like whenever I see something like that, I just put a stamp, just a big automatic disqualification right across anything they say. So now all of a sudden we've been talking about UFO. I've been talking about UFOs with my friends for, I don't know, forever. And right. Always been interested in it. Always have a. I don't pretend to have any sort of special knowledge or information. I don't have context in that world, but I'm interested in it, right? And I always wanted disclosure. I wanted the government to stop pretending like they don't know what's going on and finally own up to it. And now we start to get that on the mainstream media, and I immediately go, I don't really want it this way. I don't want it to come from CIA connected groups like To the Stars Academy. I don't really want it to come from 60 Minutes. You know, yes, it's becoming a little bit more mainstream and everything, but I'm instantly distrustful of this. What do you think about this all of a sudden out of the blue after telling everybody that they're fucking crazy for 70 years, all of a sudden they're going, yeah, of course UFOs are around.
I don't know, Camden, if you want to go first or if you want me to.
No, you got it. You got it. Go ahead.
Okay. So thank you. I appreciate it. First off, I'll just say that there's so much to cover with when it comes to the UFO topic that, again, unfortunately, I won't be able to fit all of this in, hence why we started the show. But I think personally, to sum it up, I think it is to currently redirect mass consciousness. And the reason why I say that is because, again, I don't mean to delve into the esotericism side of things at this moment. However, the United States military and the CIA know a lot more about spirituality than they're letting on. And I say that because, you know, for example, there are things like quantum computing that are taken extremely seriously, but then things like, for example, quantum healing are sort of, you know, it's taken more seriously as time goes on, but more so within independent communities and things like that. So within the UFO community, we have certain cases, like, for example, a very rich gentleman by the name of Robert Bigelow. What did he do? He basically was worth, I think, $700 or $800 million. He poured about $100 million into trying to find out if aliens do exist. And this is basically what happened. What you just mentioned, Charlie, about how the To the Stars Academy has a bunch of CIA spooks on their board of directors. This is, again, we can argue the deep state, the shadow government, you name it, which I believe there are different factions, if you will. Because of the whole tribalistic aspect, they will then send a handful of former agents to encircle, metaphorically, Mr. Bigelow in this case, and feed him little bit of truth. Because when you're spending that much money, you'd want to feel like you're getting something in return, but a lot of BS. Right. So, you know, maybe there will be something that, you know, because of the amount of money he's putting into it, he's going to have some very rare piece of metal sent to him, for example, to look at. Maybe it could be that memory metal or that breathing metal that Wernher von Braun and Uri Geller have spoken of and things like this. But again, at the end of his particular investigation, in my honest opinion, I think he got close and he found out the truth in a very threatening way. Which is why when he did those interviews post-investigation, he seemed a little bit on edge with his words. But again, when it comes to why now, when it comes to why is this the case, there are many different proposals. One of the grander ones, or more out there ones, if you will, is that it's not humans that are wanting to disclose this. It's that they're... At the highest of levels, this shadow government or Majestic 12, Zodiac, whatever you want to call it, are being told by these extraterrestrials for one reason or another, whether it's good or bad is up for debate. Depends how we perceive it as well, but there needs to be a form of disclosure. Some think it has to do legitimately with the concern of these aliens wanting to geoengineer the planet in a certain way, and that cannot be done you can't do that by hiding it. They would need to expose their existence and therefore do that. But there are so many different reasons. Some say it was as simple as just diverting from what's going on with COVID and what was going to happen with Afghanistan. So many different things, right? So it's very hard, or, you know, the election audits, as they say, it's very speculative at this point. What I can say, though, is that they throw stuff right in our faces. They throw real things. They throw fake things. Exactly what Mr. Stockwell said about how they put and plant fake stories is exactly what's happening here, if you ask me.
Yeah. I mean, the UFO disclosure thing that was in the COVID bill all the way back in January, right? We got a 9-page nothing.
Can I just say very quickly that 9 pages of nothing is basically when the intelligence community, part of my English, says, listen, we're not telling you fuck all, come back in about a year or two and we're still going to tell you nothing.
Right.
Right. Yeah. The supposed Robert Bigelow, I think, is the one that leaked this. The supposed classified version was 14 videos that look like a sci-fi movie. We just talked about this on a video, Dave. A much more comprehensive version that still said, we don't know what these are. We have nothing that is similar in capability, this kind of thing.
But they did somewhat admit to being the only country in the world to having these retrieved materials, which is interesting. Again, they weren't lying. They were obfuscating. But sorry, go on.
No, I agree. And kind of more, you know, leading people down a rabbit hole of, we can't trust the government. They're not telling us what they must actually know. And as both of you definitely know, there's like this crazy duality, arguing all over UFO culture right now. Are they demons? Are they all benevolent? Are they all from, you know, outside on Tartaria? Are they all from
Inner Orion? Earth?
Are they all Alpha Dracos? And it's kind of Ryan Robbins of Post Disclosure World made a great point I saw the other day. It's kind of the government's fault that all of this craziness, tinfoil hat, like insanity, has come about, because they won't tell us what they actually know and what are the actual facts. So it kind of lets people's minds run wild, and they make up anything they can that can be plausible. And so if the government would just fucking tell us what they actually know, we could start from so much more of a grounded base and actually talk about this much more factually. So I don't know why they're lying to us. Is it to drum up a defense budget? Is it to warrant them going to war with these people? Is it to warrant them unveiling the space tech that they say they're going to put on Navy ships and use?
Well, sorry, if I could say very quickly, it's very interesting that the timing, that I don't know if you guys have heard of the Galileo Project. That scientist Avi Loeb, I think, hopefully I said his name right, said that the Harvard professor is starting something called the Galileo Project. My humble opinion, CIA is going to insert themselves in that if they haven't already. With that being said, though, just a handful of weeks after this Galileo Project was announced and the funding for it was announced, they just tweeted out a handful of days ago, they're getting their IR sensors ready to look and see what's in the sky at night. And what's interesting is that nowadays with digital telescopes, people literally zoom into the moon. I say this, Charlie, to your listeners, if anyone's got a digital telescope, zoom into the moon, depending on the night, depending where you are in the world, you will see a structure that looks like the Pentagon on there. Sounds crazy. You will see craft coming in and out on a nightly basis constantly. And ultimately what it comes down to is whether or not people want to take this seriously. That's truthfully what it comes down to. But interestingly enough, the United States is now going to unveil a secret space weapon shortly before the Galileo Project's IR sensors are going to be put up. So, you know, interesting.
Avi Loeb is the Oumuamua guy, right?
Right, correct. And again, very quickly, if I could say, create the problem and then create the solution. Control both ends of it. We could argue that's exactly what's happening with COVID, with Afghanistan. You name it, right?
Yeah.
So,
And it gets back to the Wernher von Braun deathbed confession, mm-hmm. whatever type yes. of thing where you yeah. know, they say, you know, be careful about this. You know, what's the purpose? The purpose is to create the justification for weapons in space. And once you have weapons in space, it's over. So
yeah.
I can understand, I can see where these people would go, you know, how they would go about that. I've had Crow 777 on the Union of the Unwanted show. That guy, you know, I'll tell you what, when I saw that lunar wave years yeah. ago, and I was like, okay, look, I'm not an astronomer. I don't know the details. I'm not good with cameras. I don't have any of that background. I'm 100% having to outsource my critical thinking to somebody else because I'm just not equipped to understand if what this means or is it possible or what am I seeing or any of that. Is it atmospheric? I don't know. But I saw that lunar wave and I thought, that doesn't look right. And then on my bookshelf, I've got a book from Alan Butler called Who Built the Moon? That'll blow your fucking mind when they start talking yeah. about, well, the moon ought not to be there. It should be, by all rights, observational error. And I'm going, okay, what's going on here? I've got David Icke and Kratos Mutwa talking about a time before the moon existed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've got these guys talking about, you know, I've got lunar wave situations. I've got Alan Butler saying that the moon shouldn't even be there.
Yeah.
What do we even know about the moon?
If I could jump in just before Camden does, because I've been waiting to get this out, if it's
please
cool. So two things. First off, there was there were a couple of slides that leaked. And I say leaked with air quotes because I think this is, again, part of the dissemination of preparing the masses, but maybe it isn't. Who knows? Some of these slideshows leaked, the classified ones that were being briefed to Senator Marco Rubio's committee, and as well as some senators and what they call the Gang of Eight, you know, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, those guys. Apparently, it was basically the footage was 40 minutes of a sci-fi movie. And off the record, a senator said it puts George Lucas's Star Wars to shame. And this is real military footage of what these alien craft can do. Some of the leaked slideshows that I have on our channel that we talk about mention, what was it? It was disruptions in the space-time continuum, which basically means force fields, time travel, anti-gravity, you name it, essentially. The ability to move through solid surfaces, telepathic capabilities, things like this.
Okay.
These were bullet points on a classified slideshow. So this senator, off the record, allegedly a male senator, told a handful of outlets that Biden, Kamala Harris, Senator Marco Rubio, and a handful of other senators and the Gang of Eight in Congress, they know about this. They know that it's legit. They know it's real. They've been told that much, but that's the most that they know in terms of they don't know anything about special access programs and things like this, right? So again, it's hard to say. Now, with that being said, my second point was there's a general. His name is Leonid Ivashov. He's a four-star Russian general. Again, nowadays, you see how the CIA pushes just the word Russian is like, oh no, but ooh. He's right. He's a physicist. If I'm not mistaken, a doctor, four-star Russian general. And he wrote a book. He wrote a book a couple years ago. I forgot what it was called, but anyways, he said, what Paul Hellyer has said, what the former Canadian defense minister, former Israeli space minister said, he goes, I got nothing to lose. And this is exactly what I know to be fact. No English or non-Russian speaking publication would pick his book up. It's only in Russian. You can only find it in Russian. His whole overarching proposal, or what he believes to be the case, is that these wars are being started by the CIA all around the world, truthfully, not just for profits, but also to look for what he refers to as ancient relics and ancient knowledge and things like this. He said that the Nazis have been to the moon. He said that Hitler escaped underwater, made a deal with underwater beings, and the Soviets tried to chase Hitler in some submarines. But these humanoid, I guess you could say mermaid fish, really, that seem to be the same description as the Lake Baikal incident, which is still classified to this day, just use their hands to push the sub, just like what you see in Aquaman, literally use the hands and boom. And then these submarines were, Soviet submarines were forced to turn around. So there's all these different things that he said. So, I mean, it's so extensive and it sounds like it's something literally out of a not even a movie, like a Disney movie.
Lake Baikal, like the organism 486B, yes.
Yep.
That
yep. Yep. thing? Yep. Yep. Well, an alleged, that's apparently a what's the term? A a subspecies or sort of like an experimental creature coming from the genes of some of these underwater creatures that have given Russians permission to take some of their DNA and things like that. So again, it's really intense. There's a lot of things I'm missing out on. Like, for example, he said, Hitler, the Soviets never had Hitler or Eva Braun's body. It turns out that he also provided documents from Stalin, signed documents from Stalin, ordering the authorization of these submarines to go after Hitler in what's called Hollow Earth. Again, that's substantiated by
New Schwabenland, right?
Correct. They called it New Schwabenland. They called Hollow Earth, again, referred to by Mr. Admiral Byrd from World War II. Again, these guys are trusted during the war, but then right after they start talking about aliens. And Admiral Byrd wrote in his journal and he told the U.S., the government, his superiors when he got back, that if there's going to be a war, a third world war, we need to be vigilant of the flying discs from both poles. Right. And he met allegedly an underground civilization that has its own sun under there and things like this. And again, a lot of people say, how is this even possible? There's only so much space on this planet and things like that, right? Well, allegedly there's something called pocket dimensions, which is basically... It's like sort of think about you're about to walk into, say, a van or a car. Once you get inside, the car, the inside of the car is the size of a plane. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so allegedly
the analogy would be Doctor Who's TARDIS, the phone right. thing that he goes in and it's like a giant room inside. That's probably your easiest
allegedly
analogy.
This is the same technology that some of these extraterrestrial craft have. They're about 50 feet in diameter, but when you walk inside some of them, they're like fucking, way larger than that.
You know what's interesting about that? I have a book called Chameleo by Robert Guffey. And it's a story about a guy. It's about Robert Guffey's friend who is living in Mission Beach, San Diego area. And he gets on the wrong, it's a long story, but he gets on the wrong side of these government officials. Some dude that he lets sleep on his couch has gone AWOL from the Marines, and he's taken a bunch of night vision goggles and a laptop, and they're all partying, they're all fucked up and everything, doing drugs. And this guy's like, "Hey, let me show you." And he opens up the laptop and turns it on, and they all go, "That seems like a bad idea. You probably shouldn't do that." And then like 20 minutes later, there's a knock at the door, and it's the military saying, "We want to come in." He says, "Fuck you, go get a search warrant." So that pissed them off and all these guys left. And so the guy who was there in the room, in the apartment, who had nothing to do with it, except he let this guy sleep on his couch, starts getting harassed by the military. Mm. And they start using psychological warfare and gang stalking and all these tactics on him. But one of the technologies that they use on this guy is that he's in his apartment. Or he'll have like a friend will come over to their apartment and they'll go, "Your apartment is like way bigger than it used to be." And he's like, "I know." And sometimes it's way smaller than it used to be too. So they were fucking with him. When he'd open his window, he'd get all paranoid, obviously, because these people are he'd open his window and look out and it would be like that van. It'd be like surrealist paintings, like the Van Gogh, like with triple suns and everything. He'd be like, "What am I doing?" They were totally making him crazy, but they had that technology. And the company that they said was doing it was SAIC, which is a hardcore military industrial company, which happened to be headquartered right down the street from this guy's apartment in Mission Beach. I think they've been bought out and I think they've split into Leidos as one company and SAIC as another one. But this was 2003. He was talking about it. So it's interesting that you say that, because I've heard about that technology before. And as a side note, one of the things that they also did to this poor bastard was they put midgets in those predator suits that make you invisible. Like when the predator was up in the trees and you couldn't see him. So the tagline to this, it's like Chameleo, a true story about gang stalking, invisible midgets, terrorism. It's the craziest book, and it's 100% true. And I swear, I got to get Robert Guff. I got to reach out to him and get him on the show to explain it, because I read the book. I heard him first on Higher Side Chats with Greg Carlwood 6 years ago, and I immediately bought the book, which is the first time I've ever done that. And I read it, and I was like, "This is officially the craziest book I've ever read." But that tech, what it did to me was it made me realize that technology exists. It's not well known. It's not talked about. And if that technology exists, could they have discovered it naturally? Of course, yeah. But could they have been kickstarted by captured technology or something like that? So,
If I could say, Ben Rich, who passed away, I think 2001, the former head of Lockheed Martin's Skunk Works division. For those who don't know quickly, Skunk Works is the classified version of Lockheed Martin, which is a military contractor. They're right there with the US government and all that. And Ben Rich, he said, he goes, we already have the means to travel amongst the stars. And he goes, do things that put Star Wars and Star Trek to shame. But he goes, it would take an act of God for the technology to get out. People ask me all the time, Dave, how come, they won't bring it out there? I don't believe it's so much anymore as to, mass hysteria. I really don't think that's the case. It would devalue the power structure overnight. Literally, oil would mean fuck all, we have to remember with anti-gravity technology, by the way, this doesn't mean only force fields, invisibility, and the ability to travel, time travel, things like this. This also means free energy. This also means, because allegedly there are some models within the US government called the flux liner. And it's called that because apparently once there is a little bit of weight on this type of memory metal called, I think, nitotol, if I'm not mistaken, there's a few different metallurgies. But what ends up happening essentially is that it starts to lift up. And the way it does that is that it accesses the, what you would call the ether, whatever, what Nikola Tesla called the free energy frequencies, or you name it, right? It accesses this unlimited energy that is the fabric of this dimension that we're living in, right? And because it's so unlimited, it's literally teeming with energy. And that's exactly what it uses. Now, there are different propulsion systems and things like this, but nowadays, a lot of those triangle craft that you see are allegedly, I would dare to say, a combination of military and alien, more so alien tech with human tech attached to it, which is why when those triangle TR-3Bs fly really low on purpose, I would dare to argue very strongly it's humans, military. The reason they're doing this is allegedly, if we were to subscribe to the theory of Project Bluebeam and staging a fake alien invasion to justify militarizing space, they do this because when the craft come low, this is going to sound a little silly, but it'll make sense. You see at the bottom of these craft what looks to be pipes and tubes. This is not something that aliens would have, not because we just know this for a fact, but because the government knows that they have no cords, wires, nothing connecting anything. And the reason for these tubes and these rusty looking pipes to be put at the bottom of these triangle craft is to give the perception within the subconscious mind of the average person that's watching it that this is fearful invasion. And as funny as this sounds, seeing those pipes and tubes give that human connection. So you've now created a human connection in the mind that's created fear. Right now, again, this is if we go down the theory that they're trying to justify, saying, look, the aliens are coming, we got to defend ourselves and this and that. But then there's the other side of things where if we take a look at, I forgot his name, was it George Mitchell? I believe it was. He was this was in the Podesta email leak from WikiLeaks. Edgar Mitchell, excuse me. Edgar, yes. He said to John Podesta, he goes, our friendly ETI species want to share anti-gravity and zero-point technology with us. However, they will not tolerate any militarization of space. So that's the conflict that we have here, right? Because, and this is why I truly believe there are different factions. There are different factions of aliens speaking with different factions of the elite of humans, if you call it. And there's sort of this back and forth power control structure, if you will, that shifts every handful of years. And I give the example very quickly of like organized crime. Right. Let's just think of back in the 60s and 70s, the Italian mob in New York. There were five major crime families. They all had the same goals in mind, make money, basically. But the way they went about it was different. And there's politics. There's issues with certain members of other crime families. This is what I see is happening within the elite geopolitical and extraterrestrial realm. Mm-hmm. So sorry for the rant, but that's my.
I would only say that these people want to continue to make money. They don't want to stop their money. So zero point energy is a problem because the people making money off oil and off of
oil means
mining
nothing.
Of minerals, they can't keep making money.
Well, think about it like this. If if Camden, Charlie, and myself, if we have anti-gravity technology, we can produce our own food, and we can also have our own house run off of the energy that's all around us.
Yeah.
First off, forget paying bills. The fact that people are going to sit back and say, wait, you're telling me, and imagine you have a UFO craft or an alien craft. People are going to say, I can fly, say, for example, to Mars and back within literally 5-10 seconds. I can go to another galaxy within and be back home by lunchtime. And I got to worry about this fake mortgage. What I'm saying here? Bank. It brings, like Camden said, it brings those big oil guys down to our level. It evens the playing field. And that's exactly what they don't want.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I mean, I understand the reasons why the power structure would want to suppress this information. It destabilizes everything. And especially if you're on top, if you're on the top of this pyramid, you want to stay there. And this is great. And so they're probably using it in some form or fashion, but not letting that information get out. There was one guy though, it seems like there was one guy that you could always count on, who is a bit of a loose cannon, who would talk about these things. And, you know, and we all talk about these things because it's kind of fun and interesting.
Right.
But we didn't have the background or the pedigree that Paul Hellyer had. And he passed away a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, thank you, Paul Hellyer, for everything that you've done. What did you guys discover from his work? He's a Canadian who went out and really put his reputation on the line. He didn't just talk about it once. He was extremely open and prolific in his writings and talking and never backing down. How will the world remember Paul Hellyer?
Well, I think personally, those within the UFO community know, from my understanding, there's something I've totally missed, he was never one to sort of stir up controversy. He was more focused on the pure, raw disclosure of it all. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think that to his, I guess you could say, unintentional credit, the problem with him coming out the way that he did in terms of saying things as early as, I think it was 2011 or it was something around there where he started speaking and all that, was that nobody believed him at the time. And the reason why I say this is because I think tremendous respect for the guy, tremendous respect. He claimed that he only knew about 4 or 5 different aliens. He knew of 4 or 5 different species, and some of them were in fact living here in Canada, because the underground military bases too allegedly, you know, connect to between Canada and America. I think, in my opinion, looking back, I think he was an advocate for the truth, but the fact that perception is reality, I think he came out a bit too early. Why do I say that? Because the former Israeli space defense minister made a very good point saying that humans are working with aliens, working in an underground base on Mars and things like this. And he goes, I have nothing to... what's the word? He said, I have nothing to prove. My career is over. He said, if I had said this 2-3 years ago, I would have been ridiculed. But now his story is being written in some mainstream media outlets. And I think Paul Hellyer got discredited because I don't want to say he came out too early. That's not for me to judge or say. But he started going on, and again, because ironically enough, these were the only outlets at the time that would take him. He started going on RT, Russia Today, right? Things like that, which in a way helped the Western intelligence communities discredit him. Now, here's the other thing as well, too. I also am of the firm belief that no matter how much these guys talk, no matter their credibility, what they've done with government, their history and all that, their reputation, no one's going to believe them. No one's going to believe them. And I unfortunately, like, it's crazy to say that Paul Hellyer was talking about things that, you know, Lou Elizondo is talking about now, no discredit to either of them. Paul Hellyer was mentioning, you know, 5-6 years ago. The only difference is now the Pentagon said UFOs are real and there was a New York Times article. Right. So all of a sudden now, you know, they want us to believe it. So it's like nodding to your parents, like, yes, mommy, yes, daddy, I'll believe it now. That's what I see most of society doing. And I think Paul Hellyer's reach didn't go as far as it could have because of that. Mm. I think he was he contributed greatly though to the community. He would attend hearings. He struck me as the kind of guy, if he was going to get visited by Men in Black or the military, he didn't give a shit. Maybe there were some things that he knew he couldn't say because he would have been abducted or threatened, killed, you name it. But I think he has been nothing but an overall positive contribution to the community.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Most, like, that was very succinct is that he came out maybe too early. Because of being on RT, because of being on media outlets that were the only ones that would take him,
right,
that were easily discredited, it gave that write off absolutely. And I think the reason now it's not uncredited is because of how unprecedented the times are that we're in. One of my favorite sayings right now is that real revolution, real change, real revamp of society only happens in unprecedented, irregular, and unfounded times. And like, if any point in all of our generational lives, that is now. And so maybe Paul Hellyer was just trying to get ahead of the game because of knowing, I mean, we know for a fact that they've been probably having this SARS, COVID, blah, 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 world pandemic, new world order, like, plan for a while. And so I think he might have been trying to guess their game and like get ahead of it and insert himself and get information out there when it needed to be out there ahead of time before he would have been shut down. But yeah. Maybe he just guessed wrong. And that's you know, the shame of it. But I think he disclosed so much credible things that are now objective fact, probably. Right. Yeah.
I do want to add one more thing. The Russian general Leonid Ivashov, as well as a handful of other former Russian generals, have said that they've been consistent with Paul Hellyer's statements that they've been in contact with multiple advanced civilizations since at least the 80s. They had the way they contacted them was not using any drugs, chemicals, or technology. It was literally realizing that the human body and the human brain is a sender and receiver of information. So this former general, not Mr. Ivashov, another one said, I forgot his name, said that they had to tune the human brain to a finite energy contour frequency. Now, he didn't get any more detail than that. And I firmly believe that if he did, and he sort of explained the methods used, you and I would literally be able to reach out to these extraterrestrials telepathically. And I think that's exactly, you know, why he stopped there. But the point is that consistently, whether it's Paul Hellyer, former Israeli defense minister, these Russian generals, they've all said they're here. We have yet to see, at least in the way that we perceive time, we have yet to see them be threatening towards us. However, again, I say perceive time because we can argue if they have time travel capabilities, they could be fucking with us in ways we don't even know yet, right? So it's I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't be hostile entirely, but they've all said, you know, they've minded their own business. Some are here literally for fun as sort of like a passerby. I believe it was Paul Hellyer who also said at one point,
probably the universe is Vegas. I mean, for real, right?
Well, no, I'm not even, actually, it's funny you say that because allegedly Paul Hellyer had said many years ago that some extraterrestrials, when they're traveling at long distances, they like to stop by Earth as like a pit stop, and they like to go to Vegas casinos because they find, and also shopping malls because they find humans amusing, sort of like when we go to a zoo. So
yeah,
it's that same thing, right? And my point is that all of these guys' statements have been consistent about that.
Great to know that we're an intergalactic rest stop for aliens to go take a dump on their way to Zeta Reticuli.
Right, exactly.
You guys are the best, man. Hey, where can people find your work? Where can people support you? I know you got doing great stuff on Patreon as well. Tell us where people can get a hold of you.
Well, we do have YouTube still. We haven't been kicked off there all the way yet.
Well, the day's not over yet.
Yeah, right. Generation Z podcast on YouTube. We also have Patreon, patreon.com/GenerationZ. And then also we've got email, generationzpodcast@gmail.com. Anyone wants to email us anything that they've found, anything that they have to like share, any of that, they can absolutely email us. And we dig into everything and anything.
If I could also just say very quickly, on patreon.com/generationz, we have three different tiers, $4, $8, $12. They range all the way from seeing episodes hours or days, public episodes before they come out, early release. We have the members only episodes where we post the videos using Dropbox links so we can literally talk about everything there. We analyze footage. There's, we talk about, hopefully I could say it on here, the tie-in with human and child trafficking, believe it or not, Epstein and extraterrestrials. I know that sounds a bit out there, but the connections are there. We do multiple times per week Zoom calls. You can tell us episodes, topics you want us to cover. So many different things we do. And it's basically, the reason why I bring it up is because it's basically our life support. So anything would be truly appreciated. Any even checking it out would be appreciated.
Yeah, totally. These are my favorite guys to get weird with. I mean, this we can go on to a variety of topics. So if you like this episode, take the additional step of sharing it with your friends and family. If you want to support Generation Z podcast, please do so. They're doing great work out there. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.